mentioned that the strong forces of opposition against Ramchal actually escalated and went a step further, and that was also to attack the Rebbe Ramchal, who was a Bishayi Bason, one of the recognized Gedol Haber. Until that particular moment, there was a lot of hesitation. Any way to try to be pegay in the covered of Rabbi Shai Bason, because he had that tremendous stature and recognition all over Italy. But ultimately, when things just moved on and on, and they began to accuse him that he was protecting Ramchal, and the matter of fact is mentioned that he had returned the Ksavim, returned the manuscripts of Ramchal, which upon agreement was that he keep it in safekeeping and not allow Ramchal any access to it, and he was being accused and in fact that he did return it. And we pointed out Ramchal saw Belez Breyer, there has no choice, and decided that he has to move from here. His ultimate plan was to be able to Eretz Yisrael, which in fact that did happen. Ramchal, you have to realize now, is still a young man. He's in his 30s, early 30s. And he's making his way to Amsterdam. That's supposed to be the stop on the way to Eretz Yisrael. He then left with a very, very heavy heart, because he left his yeshiva behind, he left his oldest Talmidim behind. And he encouraged his Talmidim very much that even though he's not there with them physically, but in spirit he's always going to be with them. He will never forget them. As a matter of fact, he kept writing to them, always encouraging them to continue to say to Alimud, not to change anything of the way that they were taught, and to make sure that they keep up and continue to grow. He expressed the sorrow, the pain that he has to leave them, is like being left with only the heart, he said, without any limbs, because his Talmidim are an extension of himself. And now that he has to leave and he has to depart, he has to leave them, it's like his heart is with him. He has a heart, but Lamaisa, the Eivarim, doesn't have any limbs anymore. But he promised them, he said, no matter what the situation is, he said, the Ahava, the love that he has for them, will never cease, they'll never weaken. And as a matter of fact, he says, I'll always be mispalus at the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the time will come again, we'll be able to be reunited and to be able to rejoice and to be served HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it was originally. So on the way to Amsterdam, Ramchal had a mishap that he did not realize, and he would have certainly avoided. He comes and goes to Germany, realizes he's in Italy. Now he's going to Germany. He goes to Germany, he goes to one of the most respected, as a rabbinical kehillahs at the time, which we're doing again in the 1700s, and that is Frankfurt am Main. Frankfurt am Main also was the city where the Chassam Sefer was born. And although the Chassam Sefer, once when he left Frankfurt, his mother remained, and he hardly ever came back, but he always signed any tshuva, Hakotten Moshe Sefer from Frankfurt am Main. That was, so I've never forgot the city of his birth. And it was a city that the greatest Gedol Yisrael served there. You can imagine you had the Shlach Kodesh serving over there, you had Gedolim, you had Rabbi von Brady serving over there, and Rabbi Sinaibishitz was the Rosh Hadashonim over there, we had Rabbi David Oppenheim, all Gedolim there that one can imagine held positions at one time or another in Frankfurt am Main. So he goes to Ramchal, on the way to Amsterdam he stops in Frankfurt am Main. At the time in Frankfurt am Main, at that time this is 1735. Who is the Rebbe over there? When the Gedol Hador, a sefer that's not maybe very well known today by common, I say, B'nai Torah, but in Olam of Psak, in Olam of Hayroh, very well recognized. His name was Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Katz, or known by Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Papers. Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Katz, the Mechaber of Ishal Sechuvis Shev Yaakov. As a matter of fact, of all the Gedolei Yisrael in Frankfurt, did not produce Shalos Yeshuvos. All types of Sforim, Chidushim Hashas, in Yoram of Kabbalah, but particularly Sefer and Shalos Yeshuvos, it was Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Katz. And Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Katz, if you want to have an idea, you know, what type of a Gedol he was, you know, you open up his Sefer Shalos Yeshuvos and you take a look, who are those who ask you Shalos? Who are those that ask you Shilas? If you open up the Sefer and you see that Gedolei Hador ask you Shilas, then you know what you are. Well, who do you think among those who ask Shilas to Rabbi Yankiv HaKoyen Katz? None other than the Pnei Yeshua himself. Pnei Yeshua was one of those who as you see in the Sefer, had a Shiloh and Halacha. Of course, you can understand it was a difficult Shiloh Halacha. And the one that he asked the Paskin, the Shiloh, he asked the opinion. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yankev HaKohen Katz. It's very interesting. If you have an idea, we don't have to tell you who the Pnei Yeshua is, of course. This, of course, is a Sefer which is learned right, in all the Olam HaYeshivas. It's an indispensable Sefer when you're learning Shas and so on and so forth. But you realize when the Pnei Yeshua was Nifter, he wrote it Tzavah not to be Maspid him. He wrote Tzavah not to be Ma'iron, and he has paid him. And they know the Behuda, when they heard that the Pnei Yeshua was Nifter, and they told him that it's a Tzavah not to be Maspid, he says, I cannot listen to that Tzavah, because the Pnei Yeshua was a Rabban Shekol Bnei Agoyla. He was literally the Rebbe of the entire Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he says, when such a Gadol B'Yisrael is Nifter, he says, it's not appropriate that we should not bring out to the world the loss of such an Odom Gadol. So the Buddha said, I have to be master with the Pnei Yeshua, in spite of the fact I'm overriding that soul. Having to deal with the Pnei Yeshua, and the Pnei Yeshua now mentioning, he asked Shilas to Bianca Vakoyan Katz. Bianca and Katz, also in Frankfurt at that time, had one of the largest yeshivas. Maybe by today's standards, you don't compare it to Mir, but you had 400 Talmidim. Someone in those days to have 400 Talmidim in one setting, in a Zaman, would consider to be just an amazing, amazing thing. Yeshivas were not that large at all. So he had like 400 Talmidim. That means that they came from all over. And then we say that he was the Gadol HaDor of his time. Ironically, Rabbi Yankev HaKohen Katz was Nifter in 1740. Who do you think was the Mamala Mokim? The Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua is the one who becomes Rav in Frankfurt right after Rabbi Yankev HaKohen Katz. And in fact, you go today into the old Beis HaChaim of Frankfurt. You go today, one of the few preserved matzavis that still stand. Original Matzavis, not in the right place, because during the war the cemetery was bombed, and therefore most of the cemetery was destroyed, the old ancient Beis HaChaim. However, interesting, miraculously, the Matzavah of the Hafler is still there, because the Hafler was Rav in Frankfurt a little bit later, but it was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. You have the Matzavah of the Nos Nadler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, the other Rebbe. The Chassam Sofer writes many times, you know, his two Rabbeim, one was the Nos Nadler, was a Kohen, and then the Hafler was a Levi. So he says, I learned by the great Kohen and by the great Levi. The great Kohen was the Nos Nadler, and the great Levi, he says, was the Hafler, with Pinchas HaLevi Horus. You have the two Matzevahs, you have them there, that you put them together in one place, that's you're situated. So you have the Matzevah of Nos Nadler, you have the Matzevah of Pnei Yeshua, you have the Matzevah of the Shev Yaakov, you have the Matzevah of the Hafler, and many other Gedolma which are buried there you don't have. And the interesting thing when we visited Frankfurt with the Olam, I came across a map that was printed in a publication something like 8-9 years ago, and there was a map actually designating the original Mekoymas, the true Mekoymas of where the Kvarim were. So although now, even today, nothing has changed, meaning if you go, they're all put together because they didn't know where to put them. So they made like a Chelkes HaRabonim. So of all the Matzevis, but that's not exactly the Mokim Kvure, although the Matzevis are still there, the original Matzevis. But if you have a map, then you have a shtickle idea, you know, where Pnei Yeshua was over here, and he was over here, and Nos Nadler was over there, and so on and so forth. So the Yankev HaKohen Katz comes the Ramchal, come to Machal, and he does what is the Minig Derech Eretz. And the Minig Derech Eretz is that when you visit a town, you visit the Rav. That's the way they've always been. When you find an Odom Gadol comes to visit a city, what do you visit? You visit the Yav Bezin, you visit the Rav of the town. That's the Derech Eretz, that's the common courtesy, that's the protocol, that's what you do. He did not realize that Bianca Vervain Katz was one of his greatest opponents. He didn't realize that actually he came mamish into the lion's den. He did not realize. And Agav, I'm just going to depart for a moment. Maybe not even be mamish now because he just can't be busy with this all the time. But I just have to mention something which is very fascinating. In fact, when we were in Frankfurt, I wanted to mention it there. Time didn't allow because we were only there for 4 days going all over the place. There was not enough time. So I just want to tell you one thing. Rabbi Yankev Emden, who was, of course, the great Kanoi, in all of his writings, as you see, and specifically, he waged war against Rabbi Yenison Eibschitz, as we know, because he was suspected, Rabbi Yankev Emden suspected Rabbi Yenison Eibschitz being a follower of Shabbat Tzvi. And this was relentless pounding, and the lishonis, or the adjectives that he used was as if he's speaking about the lowest of the lowest. It's not shy even to repeat, you know, the type of verbiage that he used and the words that he used against the greatest Anipshitz. But be as it may, we know Rabbi Yankevem was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. So you have your two Gedolei Hador, father and son, great people. You know, Yankevem used to sign Yavitz, Yud Ayin Beis Tzadik. Yavitz is Yankev Ben Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi used to sign Tzvi Ben Yaakov. Yankev, Chacham Tzvi's father was Yaakov. That's why his son was named Yankevem, left with the Zayde. So Yankevem used to sign Yavitz, you know, the Shivas Yavitz. Yavitz, Yankev Ben Tzvi. And his father is signed Tzvi, with quotations, Tzvi Ben Yaakov. Okay, now, it's fine with throwing around Gedolei Hador. Yes, you're dealing with a lot of Gedolei Hador in different kufis. One of the greatest was a goyim by the name of Rav Avrom Breider was a rav in Prague, and he was a rav in Frankfurt am Main also. Later, as a matter of fact, his mokim kvur is in Frankfurt am Main. As I said, the chavala is no one knows where. The good news, if you can call that, is the old Beis HaChaim is not that big. The point is, if you walk around the Beis HaChaim, you certainly, sooner or later, you're going to be quite close, if not even stepping on it. You don't know. But Avraham Brody is buried, and he became the Malamokim in Frankfurt after the Goyen Rav Tolle HaKoyen Katz, the Baal Smichas Chachomin. One of the greatest Baalim Kubalim of all time, Rav Tolle HaKoyen Katz, was forced to leave Frankfurt am Main. Why? Because a great Sreifa broke out in 1711, which burned down half of Frankfurt, because the houses, have you ever seen pictures of old Frankfurt? You see the houses are mums one next to each other, mums attached on both sides, a lot of them made out of wood. If a fire broke out in one area, it just, many people, by the way, lost their lives, many Sefer Torah were burnt, and if not for loss of life, certain houses and houses, hundreds were burned down, and he was imprisoned by the authorities. And the Maskilim, you know, the secular newspapers at the time, and the Chlal, they mocked with Meftali, he was known as a Baal Mekubal, and they say what happened was that in Kabbalah, he probably wanted to summon the Sar Shalmaim. He made a mistake and he summoned the Sar Shalesh. It was a joke, you know. So that's what happened, is it burned down the whole town. So when he was Nifter, comes above Avraham Brody. Just to give you an idea, the ground of Avraham Brody, the Bionis and Eibshitz was not a problem of Avraham Brody, yet he tries to cleave as if he was. Because the Bionis and Eibshitz was a Talmud of a Talmud. And he called himself, I'm a Talmud of Avraham Brody. It was a big schus to be considered to be a Talmud of Avraham Brody. So Bionis and Eibshitz would call himself that based upon the justification, because he's the Talmud of a Talmud. Close enough. If my Rebbe is the Talmud of Avraham Brody, I can call myself, he says, a Talmud. And he writes upon him, on Rabbi Avraham Brody, I just tell you the lotion he writes, Noida bi Yisroel Shemoi, the name of Rav Brody goes far and wide. He illuminates all over. That Rav Chachmei Yisrael drink from the waters of Rav Brody. Okay, having said that, here's the Nikud. This is something I wanted to mention as we were in Frankfurt. Tandan Allah, let me just mention this. From Brady comes and he does a Shidduch. He does a Shidduch with one of the, not a Rabbanish Shidduch, does a Shidduch with one of the Anashim Cheshuvim in Hamburg, in Germany. And therefore he comes, you know, it's a Shidduch. So he comes to Germany, he comes to Hamburg. And guess what? Who at the time, who was in Hamburg functioning? Sometimes he was a Sheshiva, he was also a Rabbi a little bit, was a Chacham Tzvi, was at the same time. Rabbi Yankev Emden wrote an autobiography, it's called Megillah Sefer. Very, very, to say the least, interesting, because he's, how should we say, brutally honest. Brutally honest means that, if you would ask me, he would say, don't print it. Because he's talking about his own weaknesses. It's a half of a fella. Atkedei kach, that in this generation, interesting, nobody said it before, that there are certain kanoim, that come out and say that it's whole mezuyif. He never wrote that. because they don't want to believe that Shai Rabbi Yanki Lemon wrote it. And part, by the way, part of the foundation to be able to say that part, because the truth is, because the very first printing of the Megillah Sefer was not printed by Haredim, was printed, matter of fact, by Maskilim, so the going says that they suspected that they put in all kinds of things which they attributed, because they wanted to attribute to Yanki. See your Gedolim, see what your Gedolim are about, look the things that they think about, look the things that they do, and so on and so forth. However, scholars who have studied the manuscript say, no, this is Rabbi Yanki Lemon. Rabbi Yanki Lemon relates the following story. He says what happened between Rabbi Avraham Brody and his father Chamsi. There was a kapdonis. Something happened, which a rift came between them. Why am I mentioning this? Because I mentioned here the idea is that Ramchal, he comes to Frankfurt, and because it's the Derechers to go to visit the Rav, he goes visit the Rav, Rabbi Yanki of Kohen Katz, and he got him to trouble, which we didn't discuss yet exactly what happened. But here's what happened with the Chamsi and Rav Brody. I'm going to read you the Lashon. He said the Lashon like this, Rabbi Yanki Lemon's Lashon. Okay, this is straight out of the Sefer Megillah Sefer. He said like this, who also suited, he says, a suitor was made over there, Laharab, Ravon Brody, and for the Mechutin. A suitor was made in Hamburg. So here you have one of the Gedol Ador of Ravon Brody is in Hamburg. The Ovi Moiri Hagoinzal, my father Hagoin, who is that? The Chamsi. He Oz Bishnas Evlo, he was an Avelis. So writes Rabbi Yanki Lemon, my father was an Avelis, Al Kein Lo Holach Lesuda Hanal, he did not go to the Suda. Chamsi did not go to the Suda. Here is the Suda. Apparently it was a Suda that was expected that Chamsi should take part. And others, he didn't go. Why didn't he go? Because he was an Avelis. Ach betoich ha-Suda, but when the Suda was already somewhere in the middle, Holach of Imeri Hagoin, he decided to go. Lahagbil Penei Talmud Chocham Ho'oireach Lishalo Lishon. Listen, there's another Gordel over here. Yeah? In the middle of the Suda, I'm not going to take part of the Suda to come at the beginning. I'll walk in the middle of the Suda to give him Shalom Aleichem. So, because if a Chamsi shows up in the middle of the Suda, right? He did it in order to be Mekabel Ponim of Avraham Brody. Valok Achimoy Talmidov, and he took some Talmidim along with him. Ha'alondim Muflogim, one of the most chashev alondim, the Altonim. You know, Altonim and Hamburg, you know, these are the communities together. Now, listen what happened. But also, Lashon of Avraham Brody. So now, listen what happens. So Chacham, see, you have the picture of his, you have the two greatest people, right, the generation. Yad Chacham, see, he comes in the middle of the Suda, and he gives Shalom Aleichem to Avraham Brody. The Yeshaleus Avraham Brody asks of Imoyri Hagoyim, Ad ho'idne, my time, Eloishoyelimah, why did you wait so long to come give me Shalom Aleichem? So that's the, says Rav Yankelem. Avraham Brody throws an accusation at him. He says, Now you're coming. Madua, he says, why is it? Eloishoyelimah, Eloishlomo, Lahagdim Lovoy, right, not to be Mekab upon him. So miyad, kishmoy avimoyri, when my father, this is why Gavin writes, oh, but then Roy is looking for COVID. He's looking for COVID. Why my father didn't come over here? Kibikish gidul oriatsmoy. So nispoil, so omeir b'chochmah. So my father answered him right away b'chochmah. The chamsi nikiblim shilik. He says, he answered him. And he said, you wonder why I didn't come? Well, let me tell you something. I know a Gemara, it's in a Braise. And let me tell you a Gemara, says the Chamsi, he answers Rav Brody. The Gemara says, Perikam de Chagige. It's a very interesting shtickle, maybe two lines, Daf Heyim al Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi and Rabbi Chiyah, Ozli Biyorche. Rabbi and Rabbi Chiyah were traveling, okay? Rabbi and Rabbi Chiyah were traveling. Omri, so they came to a town. By the way, they didn't even know who. They didn't know who is in the town, but they said, if there is a Talmud Chochem here, we're going to go be Mekabel Ponim. It is Gemara. You have the two great people. You have Rabbi and Rabbi Chiyah, right? Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, right? The Masada of the Mishnayis, and Rabbi Chiyah. They're walking past the town. They don't know for sure who's there, but they said, if there's a Talmud Chochem here, Nezel Mekabel Ape. Under the rule, they were told, Ikechad. They were told, in this town there's one Talmud Chochem. However, he's blind. He's blind. In other words, he's not going to know. He's not going to see you anyway. He's not able to see who's here. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Ozlu Lagabe, they went to him. They went to him. So, says the Chacham Tzvi, and says to Avraham Brody, Shemamana, what do you see from here? Who visits who? The guest visits the Rav, not the Rav visits the guest. You should have come to visit me. If you have time, that's why I didn't come to you earlier. Oh, look at this Gemara. You have the Gedol HaDor, Rebbe B'chir, with Gedol HaDor, and they didn't wait, somebody should come to them. They the Gedol HaDor, and there's even Stamatam Chochem. Didn't say God HaDor is here. Even Stamatam. Chacham Tzvi said, I'm at least a Tzuvim Rabbonim like the one in the Gemara. I have Talmidim, I run a yeshiva. Didn't I deserve that you come to me? So if you're going to have tainas, he says, I can have a bigger taina to you. Because the protocol demands the Oreach, the guest, visits the Morad Asre, or visits the Talmud Chochem, who's in town. So he says to my father, he says, you have to agree, he says, and he said to him like this, you have to agree, Baba Bodhi, you're not greater than Rabbi Rabchia. And if Rabbi Rabchia visits the Talmud Chochem of the town, and I'm not less, he said, than that's who Marabonim. You're not greater than Rabbi, and I'm not less than that's who Marabonim. You should have come to visit me. You should have come to visit me. So he says to him, Al Koponim and any Pochus, he says, in our generation, it goes according to the generation, I'm not less in my generation than that's who Marabonim. What's the lie? Because that Talmud Chochem never even heard of him. Everybody heard of me, said the Chamsi. So Mamela, what for called the man, you should have come to visit me, he says. So the lie, they never heard of him. What's the lie? Because he said, if there is a Talmud Chochem, I'm going to go to this. If there is, it means that we're not sure, right? So they're not sure. They never heard of someone here. They found out, they came to visit him. So, and Rebbe was a Nosi B Yisrael. Rebbe was a Nosi B Yisrael. Rebbe Nukaj, Rebbe Yudah Nosi. He was a Nosi. And yet, protocol demanded he goes and visits him. So he says, Machain, therefore, said the Chamsi, Shal Mar Shleika Hagen, what you did, what you asked, he says, were inappropriate, and I did a finish with Sadin, he says. You know why, he says? Because I was not supposed to come back to you, you were supposed to come to me. And as a matter of fact, I'm an Oval, he says, and it's also for me to come to a Suda anyway. So I want the finish with Sadin that I came to visit you. So he says, Oz, Kishmoya Rabbeinu Avraham Broidu. Didn't write Moreno. Avram, he saw that my father bested him. That's what Yaakov Avinu writes. He saw that my father bested him. He says, "Hoy sevoy do daro elo." So he says to him, "You can't come because you're novel. You should have sent your Talmidim to me." So he sent your Talmidim to me. He said, "Im kein hoy lo lemar v'shloach Talmidov elai." They should have sent the Talmidim. Like Avol Ponai v'lidre shloimi. And the Rebbe Avraham Brody says, I also did that once. V'kachosisi ani l'god lechad shebolim koymi, v'helachti be'atzim, I didn't go myself, shalachti istalmidai bim koymi, lidra shloimoy. My father answered, v'yaneyu ovi moyi, ani eni talmidim, chadishka talmidim. I have no talmidim. So Rebbe Avraham said, and who are those that came with you? V'mi eneyu shebol, tzvizim my chaveirim. Not my Talmidim, he says. The kids said, this was it. Heshiv, that's what he answered. Ubezeh, he says, Heshtiku minyan zeh. Anyway, but he writes at the end, he says, Av makom makom hoy sahava b'soif. But before they departed with Rabbi, before he went back home, there was a hava b'soif. He points out, so on and so forth, that they made shalom, they made feast. In any case, just here's the situation. You see, sometimes you come visit a different town, you get into trouble. But certainly the Mechal did get into a lot of trouble. He wanted to do the right thing. Go visit Rabbi Yankov, and cats, he got into trouble, and Hashem, hopefully next week we'll discuss it further. But this is just a Hagdama leading up, so if you're interested, should we continue? All right, brothers, we got to move on. So the time is of the essence over here. Okay, we go over here to the Ramchal. Okay, it's Daf Mem Hei. It's Daf Mem Hei in your edition of the Derech Hashem. Right, it's the Ois Vov, paragraph Vov, which begins with the Hine. Paragraph Vov, which begins with the Hine. Ramchal here basically wants to define the general principle, you know, the underlying principle of whatever you do. What should be the underlying principle? Whatever you do, there's an underlying principle that has to motivate you and how you do things. That's what Ramchal is trying to explain in this segment. Okay? The underlying principle of whatever you do, he says, what is the shayrish of the avodah? What is the root of serving Hashem? What should that be? And he's going to point that in whatever you do, it has to lead to one purpose. And Ramchal said, I'm going to show you how to do it. So now, he begins. Vine shayrish kol inyan ha'avodah. Who? He says, the root, right, of the entire concept of serving Hashem is the following, he said. Is the following. And that is, in a nutshell, it means, the root of serving Hashem means that a person should always be turning towards his Creator. Which it means to say is that whatever you do should not be by mechanical rote. Whatever you do should not be merely mechanical, right? But rather, it should be the driving force between all of them should be a desire to come close to Hashem. That is the underlying principle of whatever you do. The underlying principle of whatever you do is to have a desire, right, to come closer to Hashem. As he calls, V'hu, sheyeda v'yovin, man has to clearly, it has to penetrate, he has to know, he has to understand, shehu lo nivra, he was not created, elo liyos mizdabig b'boiroi. That's the bottom line, and that's the beginning of the line, that's in the middle of the line, that's everything. The whole line from beginning to end. Man has to realize and understand he was not created but down here on this world. The purpose is, liyos mizdabig l'boiroi, to attain a state of dveikus, to attain a state of being connected to Hashem. To be connected, and you can only do that if you have Kedusha. If you don't have Kedusha, you can't be connected to Hashem. You can't be connected to Hashem. You get people who live a life of who knows what, and they say, I'm a spiritual person. These are just words. And to be connected to Hashem, really, who is the ultimate spirit, the ultimate, you have to have Kedusha in your life. And, but this person, before you know, you have to know what the goal is. The goal is, this Mizdavik V'boiroi. As he is gone to Boiroi, and which means again, if he says man has to understand that, right? Man has to understand that he was not created. He was not created only. He was only created to be Mizdabik Boiroi, to be connected to Hashem. It means, therefore, that man has to use all means. That man has to use all means at his disposal, right? Can continually, it should be attuned towards Hashem. Whatever you do should have a way that to channel it in. You're going to be serving Hashem by that. And it's possible no matter what you do, as Ramchal goes on to say. You have to realize you're not placed in this world. Yes, your job is to conquer your Yetzer, not to allow yourself to be dominated by the Yetzer, but your job is to conquer the Yetzer. And therefore, to do that, you have to use your Seichel. In other words, as far as the group is concerned, the goof is anti all of this, because the goof is looking for something else. The goof is looking for physical gratification. So how does a person conquer his Yetzirah? By using the Seichel. Because the intellect should be so strong and so overpowering that the man should be controlled by his intellect and not by his physical nature and by his natural inclination. That's what Ramchal says. The koyach haSeichel. The Seichel will be in contrast to his physical desire and to the tendency of the physical desire. And therefore, if man will have, right? In other words, it would be, as we say, the intellect should, right? The intellect should overpower the emotion, and not the emotion should overpower the intellect. A person should conduct all his affairs, all his actions. What's the taklis? To attain veikus b'Hashem. That is the purpose you were put in this world. And I veer from it. Fine. Now the Ramchal goes on to explain how a person can always direct himself towards Hashem. How is that? So how is the way? How is the way that a person can always direct himself towards Hashem? This conduct, again, the conduct that we're talking about, to always direct yourself towards Hashem, that itself is divided into two parts. There's two chalokim of that. It's divided basically into two parts. In other words, all actions, Chaim Friedlander, of course, upon Mashgiach Aponovich, the Chayim Abrocha, he points out what's trying to say, there's a pirush on Derech Hashem, it's called Derech L'Chaim. Derech L'Chaim, from Chaim Friedlander. So he points out that Ramchal is trying to say that when we talk about that all actions should bring a person closer to Hashem, that itself can be divided, he says, into one of two sets of activities. The two sets of activities, both to lead to the same goal, to the same purpose. The first is, the first way, right, the first mahalach, the first series of activities that bring you closer to Hashem is, of course, kosher, doing mitzvahs. We have to go without saying. Doing mitzvahs. That, of course, that's the first. And that's, by the way, without that, nothing works. That's essential. That's the foundation. That's the first step, right, in your activity in this world to bring you closer to Hashem. So, ha'echadu b'ma she'yase mitnei she'tzuva boy. The first thing is that a person does what he's commanded to do. He's doing the mitzvahs. Sheni, but then there's also a second set of activities. And that is, when a person does things in this world, which is not directly mitzvah, he does things which he needs to do to survive. You have to eat, you have to drink, seek a panosa. But those things also have to be done in a way that brings you closer to Hashem. So the first part is doing the mitzvahs. That's bullshit. Doing the mitzvahs are other. Doing the mitzvahs is supposed to bring you close to Hashem. By the way, halavai, we should do the mitzvahs the right way. Because even by doing mitzvahs, because none be doing mitzvahs, and yet the mitzvahs, the quality of the mitzvahs are far, far, right, far, far from perfect, but way less the imperfection of the mitzvah. But okay, doing mitzvahs, that's the first thing. And the second thing is, vasheni, no matter what you do, b'ma she'yas mitnei shu muchrich boy, v'tzorech. And the second is those activities that are mandated because he has to do it. I'm a human being, I have human needs, so I have to do other things. Those other things that you're doing should also be done in a way that bring you closer to Hashem. Pirish. Now goes, I'm going to explain this, says the Ramchal. Explain to you. Of course, the first that we said is, the first set of activities that bring you closer to Hashem, of course, that's klal maisa mitzvahs. That's the general performance of mitzvahs. Which means, of course, we have the Ramach mitzvahs asay. You have the 248 mitzvahs asay. Of course, you have to be involved in doing all the mitzvahs, whatever comes your way, mitzvahs that you have to do. So that's one way. That's one series of activities. One level of activity. Vasheni, and what is the second? Again, all we're talking about, all these activities to bring you closer to Hashem. So what's the sheni? What is the second level of activity? Vasheni is klal, right? Sho'odom mishtamish v'no'elo metzorkoi. The second is in general, what a person uses from this world for his own needs, even those things that you use in this world for your own needs, should also be, right? Should also be the purpose to bring you closer to Hashem. So it comes out very simple. Ramchal is really telling you that any action that a person performs, it's either mitzvah related, or it's either related to something that you need. But whether it's mitzvah related directly, or it's something that you do because you need, it's not a formal mitzvah per se, but nevertheless, for example, Mutex and Esrik, that's a mitzvah. One eats to maintain his physical health. It's not directly mitzvah related, but as we'll soon see, the Ramchal say the second category, as a matter of fact, is also considered a mitzvah. Eating for one's health is also, but the truth is, it's also a mitzvah. And doing things that you need to survive, that you need, that the human body really needs, that's also all part of a mitzvah. But as we say, it's not directly mitzvah as we think about it as a mitzvah, but from the 248 mitzvahs as we always think about a mitzvah. So the point is, no matter what a person does, whether it's directly mitzvah related, or it's something that, in general, when a person uses it for his own needs, also has to be, the goal is, to attain dveikus l'Hashem. Now, Ramchal goes to define first, he says, what is one's purpose in the performance of the mitzvah? What is your purpose when you're performing the mitzvah? And he goes on to the point like this. Performing a mitzvah, he says, ma'aseh ha-mitzvahs, regarding when we're talking about performing a mitzvah, hinei ha-tachlis, right? The tachlis when you do a mitzvah, hinei ha-tachlis bo'i riodon, she'yaseihu, the purpose for a person in performing it, mevoyu, is very clear what the purpose is. When you do a mitzvah, it's very clear. Mevoyu means, it's mevoyu, it's clear. And that is, shulikaya mitzvah boyu v'lasas chetzoi. The purpose is to fulfill, right, Kodesh Baruch Hu's command and to do His will. Now, says Ramchal, in doing a mitzvah, there's also two parts. He breaks that down itself. In doing a mitzvah, there's also, the first part, don't think about the side benefits. The first part is doing the mitzvah what Hashem told you to do. That's the first part. Simply, this is the mitzvah. You have to do it. That's the first part. So Ramchal goes on to point out the two chalokim. In doing a mitzvah itself, you have two chalokim. The truth is, Ratzon Hashem in a mitzvah has twofold, has two parts to it. Ratzon Hashem in a mitzvah has two chalokim. But these two chalokim, one is a derivative of the other, as we'll see. The two chalokim in doing a mitzvah, you are fulfilling, again, important nekuda, you're fulfilling Hashem's will by doing a mitzvah in two parts. But the second part is a derivative of the first. When you do a mitzvah, you're fulfilling Hashem's rotzen two reasons. One, you're doing the mitzvah. One is doing the mitzvah, as he goes on to say, as mentioned before, v'hainu, as I'm explaining to you, he says, ki hu mekayim, right? Because he's mekayim. Chetzo is mekayim the rotzen of Hashem, v'mer shetzivohu sheyasa hamaisa hu, v'huaseu. Hashem said, do it and I'm doing it. Okay? That's the first part. That's the first part of fulfilling the rotzen Hashem. What's the second part in the mitzvah of fulfilling the rotzen Hashem? What's the second part? So he says here, Vashenius, he says, and the second way that one fulfills Hashem, he says, it actually emerges from the first. And that is, Kihine b'maisahu, because when you do a mitzvah, you know what the result of that is, that you yourself attain holiness and you attain perfection. That's what Hashem wants also. That's what Hashem wants also. First Hashem, you have to do the mitzvah, regardless of any reason. Do the mitzvah. But the second part is, when you're doing the mitzvah, you're also fulfilling Hashem, because the result of doing the mitzvah, what happens is, that you attain perfection. He becomes perfected. Right? He becomes perfected in one of the levels. What do you mean one of the levels? Because the 248 mitzvahs, each mitzvah gives you a different level of perfection. So depending on what mitzvah you're doing, depending on what mitzvah you're doing, that mitzvah gives you that madrega perfection. That's what Ramchal says, achas. Right? You mishtalim ba'achas and ba'madregas ha'shleimus. What do you mean achas? Because each mitzvah, right? Each mitzvah gives you a level of perfection. So whatever mitzvah you're doing, A, you're mekayem rotz Hashem by doing the act, the mitzvah itself. Second of all, the result of that is, Hashem wants you to be perfected. And by doing the mitzvah, you in fact become perfected on that level. And what that mitzvah gives you, as he says, she told us our mitzvah, that's the result. The perfection that a person attains, that's a Torah, that's a result. Ha mitzvah ha hi. That's the result of that particular mitzvah. Every mitzvah gives you a different aspect of shleimus. Right? So when you do a mitzvah, A, you're mekayem rotz Hashem. As a result of that, as a result of the mitzvah, you also attain perfection. And that's also what Hashem wants. That's good for what Hashem wants also. As he says, Kamash Zechanu. Vina, he says, Miskayim Chevsa is Baruch Shemoy. So consequently, when a person does a mitzvah, right? Miskayim Chevsa is Baruch Shemoy. Hashem's will became fulfilled. Hashem's will became fulfilled when you do a mitzvah. Shuchofes, because Hashem wants, Shehiyah Hoda Mishtalim. Hashem wants the person to perfect himself. And, now here's a half of a fella. Hashem wants you to perfect yourself. And what's the result of that? What's the ultimate goal of that, after that? Look what he says. Umagia lehonois betuvoi yizbar shemoi. So man can reach the level who is able to benefit from Hashem's goodness. Something that Ramchal repeated many times. That in order to be able, Hashem has so much good to give. But in order to be able to receive Hashem's goodness, it all depends on what kind of a kli. What kind of a kli you have to receive it. The kli that allows you to receive Hashem's goodness is, the more shleimus you have, the greater ability to receive Hashem's goodness. And Hashem has so much good to give you, so much good to give you. And therefore Hashem just says, do the mitzvahs, do the mitzvahs. Through the mitzvah you're going to attain perfection, which allows you to receive my goodness. In other words, the Machal says, this should be a person's goal when fulfilling Hashem's will, right, through the performance of the mitzvah. So the kisser, what has been said is the following. So it comes out that when a person, taklamaisa, when he performs a mitzvah, so a person fulfills Hashem's rotzen in two ways. Again, every time you do a mitzvah, you're fulfilling Hashem's rotzen, Hashem's will in two ways. Number one, you did what Hashem asked you to do. You did what Hashem asked you to do. And number two, you perfected yourself, right? And the intent by doing the mitzvah should be in order. Because, interesting thing, it's a hard way to say it, because Kodesh Baruch Hu does not need anything. But as a figure of speech, we know, what does it say, Reich Nechoich Lashem? You know, when you bring a carbon, it has a sweet, savory fragrance. So Rashi says in Chumash, Reich Nechoich Lashem, Reich Nechoich Lashem Nachas Ruach. I gave it tzibui, right? And my rotzon has been fulfilled. Hashem's rotzon becomes fulfilled. Hashem gets a nachas ruach. Hashem gets a nachas ruach when he's able to bestow goodness on each and every yid, or even on the world if they deserve it. That's a tremendous nachas ruach. It says that all the sefer Kabbalah, especially the Arizal points out, right? The Chaim Vital points out, Kibbol created the world. Kibbol created the world. They hated the ruach. Unfortunately, we're mekabel ruining it. Kibbol created the world in order to be mated, to help them bestow goodness. But we're doing everything to block that. We're doing everything to block it. We have the ability to be able to receive Hashem's goodness. So the ultimate goal is, when we do the mitzvahs, is that what? We do the mitzvahs, we perfect ourselves to be able to receive Hashem's goodness, because Hashem receives a nachas ruach. Hashem receives a nachas ruach. If we can say it, Hashem gets contentment. Hashem gets contentment by allowing us to receive His goodness, to be able to bestow His goodness upon us. So what we're doing is go to the sheet. We got cut up by the time here, because we have a basic question. So it seems now that what Ramchal is telling us, doing mitzvahs, perfecting ourselves, to be able to receive Hashem's goodness. Is that not in contrast? What it says in the Mishnah Vavis, Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMisham Shim Sarav HaManas LaKavu Pras. The Mishnah Vavis says we should not be like Avodim, right? Should not be like Avodim that serve the master in order to receive reward. And here Ramchal keeps pushing over and over again. Ramchal keeps saying over and over again, like, do the mitzvahs, right? In order that you should perfect yourself, as a result be perfected, and be able to receive Hashem's goodness, over and over again. Which means ultimately, so we do the mitzvahs, right? We do the mitzvahs, so now we are thinking about perfecting ourselves, and at the same time, to be able to receive Hashem's goodness. That does not seem to be the appropriate level of avodah. Al tiyu kavodim. Now we'll take a look at a number of nekudas, and you see that that's really the kavana of the Ramchal as well regarding that, because that's really a puzzle. And Chaim Friedland also discusses that. And the bottom line, the nekudah is going to be, I'm just going to tell you what the answer to that is. When Ramchal talks about it, that by attaining perfection, we're going to be able to receive Hashem's goodness, is not because we want to gain, because Hashem has Hanoah. It was a very deep word. Ramchal says we should do the mitzvahs properly. As a result, we attain perfection to be able to receive Hashem's goodness, not for our benefit. We want to be able to receive Hashem's goodness. We want to serve Hashem because we have to serve Hashem. But Hashem wants us to be able to receive the reward. Why? Because Hashem has Hanoah. Hashem wants to bestow goodness upon us. That's a high level of Avodah. And you'll see a very fascinating shot at the Hafleh, Rebbe Chaim Sofer said. And we see, let's take a look at the sheet here, Rabbi Zayt. We see a number of items. We'll see how much we can get to over here. And just, okay, let's take the first one. There's a sefer called Beis Yisrael, Parshas Vayero. Mechaber was a choshev rov in Europe, way before the war. His name was Rasor Alter Shapiro, and he was a rov in Chernovitz. And he puts out the following here on the sefer over here. So the pasuk tells us, right, because God says, I love Avraham Avinu. Ki yadati, Rashi says, ki yadati is loshen chibur. Ki yadati, why do I love Avraham Avinu? We'll transmit the Messiah to the next generation. He'll teach his children, his family, to follow the Hashem. What's the pasuk later? It seems that what? That the purpose is of Avraham Avinu will deserve all the reward. Laman. In other words, Avraham Avinu will be Mitzavah's Bonav Beisa Yaakov. Why? Laman, in order that Hashem should be able, man hovi Hashem al Avraham. Simple understanding is that Avraham Avinu is doing all that to be deserving, right, of all the promises. Well, is that really a high level of someone, Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu, the first of the others, he serves Hashem because he wants to be deserving in order to be able to get all the. That's not the avodah of Baal Madrega. The avodah of Baal Madrega is al tiyu kavodim, not to be like those avodim who only do it for the self interest. But you have to do it for Shema, Hashem, Hashem. Look at the cash over here. Hikshu Mafarshim. Dehech muter lavid amanas lekabel pras. How is it that it seems Avraham Avinu, right, is serving Hashem because he wants to receive reward? The Tzorach Lava, the person should serve Hashem, Shloya Manas the Kabul Pras, Ein Shom Mashetirsu. For when he's dati nira oid loimar, says the Sefer in Beis Yisrael. Nira Yikosa Harav Bala Flo, listen to this. This is a classical pshat of Aflo, they bring it down literally in hundreds of Sarm. Believe Guzman, hundreds of Sarm bring down this vort, this small vort of Aflo, but he just builds on it a little bit. The Aflo said the following. The Aflo says it in Dagdoma on Mesechtes Ksubis, Al-Hod Omru Chazal on Mesechtes Ovis. You realize in Mesechtes Ovis, Begdalad, there is a phrase, and it's many different perushim, starting from the early Mepharshim down to later one. It says, Char Mitzvah, Mitzvah. How do you translate these words? The Schar of a Mitzvah is a Mitzvah. What does that mean? What does it mean? Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah. Every Mitzvah has a Schar, right? There's a reward for every Mitzvah. So what does the Mishnah say, Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah? What's the meaning of those words? So one pshat is, Sifre Chassidus say, the Schar of a Mitzvah is, you know, if you do a Mitzvah, there is a principle. There's an underlying principle. Mitzvah gerer is Mitzvah. If you do one Mitzvah brings you to do another Mitzvah. There's no greater Schar that a Mitzvah can give you the opportunity then to do another Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah! Mitzvah! The Schar of a Mitzvah is the law that you're going to be able to do another Mitzvah. It's going to drive you. You're going to have a drive. You have an innate desire to want to do another Mitzvah. The wisdom of that, by the way, is another, as the Goyen himself brings, the Goyen brings, because every Mitzvah creates a Ruach Shel Kedusha, and that Ruach Shel Kedusha, that aura of Kedusha, is something that does not rest and pushes you, gives you the desire to want to do another Mitzvah. It's like a person, right? Like a ruach went into him. But it's a ruach shel kedusha. That's one pshat, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The schar of a mitzvah is what? Mitzvah. That you're going to be able to do another mitzvah. That's one pshat. The aflah is a totally different pshat. Half of the fella. When you do a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you schar, correct? So the aflah, listen to what the aflah says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a strong, I mean, again, we're describing HaKadosh Baruch in human terms, but of course, it's much higher than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just loves to give schar to a yid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to give schar, but there's a rule. There's no free ride. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting to give his schar. When you do a mitzvah, you enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you schar, that itself is a mitzvah. Receiving schar is a mitzvah! And I noticed that the Bchatz Kolenstein we have in the next piece, number two, Shiva's David, by the way, is what Rosh Hashivas today tells. When the new Rosh Hashivas told Rosh Hashivas, well, said that Shiva's David, many Chalokim Shiva's David. Bchatz Kolenstein said, listen to this, it's an endless cheshem. It's endless cycle. Because look what happened. When you do a mitzvah, you get schar. That itself is a mitzvah, because Baruch Hu loves to give you schar. So by allowing a Kodesh Baruch Hu to give you schar because you did a mitzvah, that itself is a mitzvah. So that mitzvah now, again, you deserve schar for that. A second time. So that schar again is a mitzvah, because Baruch Hu loves to give you schar. So again, it becomes a mitzvah. So every time is just an everlasting, he says, endless, he says, revolution just going on and on and on and on. Which means that there's no end to the schar of one mitzvah. There's no end. It does not stop. This is what the Shias David brings. So let's take a look over here. So the Aflo says the following. But Thomas Amasekhtas Ksubis. The Aflo says, Al-Ho, the Omru Chazal, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Dine Yidu, Shedakri, Shazaborach, Shaloitzer, Lehetiv, Lebriyos. Lebriyosam. Shubach, who wants to be native. Ki Chofetz Cheseru. Right, it's a posik. The Kasha Odom Oysa Mitzvah, Harez Oysa Mitzvah, Biki Flyim. When you do a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah double. Why? What's double? One, the mitzvah, and then the schar that you're receiving, that's also a mitzvah, because Baruch Hu loves to give schar. So every time you do a mitzvah, you have a double mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, that itself is a mitzvah. The schar of the mitzvah is also a mitzvah. So look what he says. Look at flying. Why go flying? Allah b'me she'oyseh ha-mitzvah is gufeh. She'oyseh rotsen ha-boyuz baruch shemoy. V'yisala, right, because Baruch Hu is exalted, rotsen. Rabbeis, ma she'goyrem she'ashim yizborach yishalom moyschar. The fact that you are goyrem, you allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to give you schar bar ha-mitzvah, zeh nefshiv gam ken ha-mitzvah. The Zuri HaKavona, that's the Kavona. She'schar mitzvah mitzvah, heine. She'schar gufeh hi mitzvah. The schar itself is a mitzvah. The fact that you're receiving, whoever thought receiving schar is a mitzvah? Nobody think about it. I did a mitzvah, I get schar. Receiving schar itself is a mitzvah. That's the second mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? Because you're doing the rotzen Hashem wants. Because both his desire is so powerful. I want to give you schar. So by doing a mitzvah, you are allowing to fulfill Hashem's rotzen. Hashem's innate rotzen, Hashem's gewaltige rotzen wants to give you schar. That itself is a mitzvah. You're giving Kodesh Baruch Hu the opportunity to give you schar. So there's that flaw. Schar mitzvah mitzvah.
That's the kavon, he says. So you're doing, right, the tzchar itself is a mitzvah. Why? Because just like the actual mitzvah, oyser ritzoy nishol kodesh baruch, why is a mitzvah a mitzvah? Because you're doing the ratzon Hashem. Guess what? Receiving tzchar, that's also ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants you to have tzchar. So it's no less mitzvah than the mitzvah itself. What's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is doing the ratzon Hashem. Receiving tzchar is the ratzon Hashem, because that's what Hashem wants. He wants to be native. He wants to be native, and you now has made it, you now have made it a possibility for Hashem to give you that tzchar. Hashem wants chesed, and so on and so forth. So may us go to the next line. Now we can answer the question. Question once again, Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu, the Pesach seems to say, Avraham Avinu follows the Derech Hashem, he transmits the Messiah, in order to be deserving of tzchar. So the question was, Avraham Avinu wants to be deserving of tzchar, isn't that... right? Isn't that a sphere, contradiction? Al tiu kavodim hamishamdim sarav amanat kavod pras. So answers the Sefer Beis Yisrael. If a person wants schar for his own self-gratification, al tiu kavodim. But if you want to receive schar because the Kodesh Baruch Hu drives pleasure, that's okay, that's gavaldi. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. So what your kavod is, when you're receiving schar, is that you're giving Kodesh Baruch Hu kibiyachol pleasure. That's a high level. That's gevalit. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. So that's the difference. These are the two ways of looking, even by receiving schar. So I want to do the very famous mice. I'll turn the sheet on the side. We'll do the next 5 minutes over here. Look at number four here. Famous story in Sipur Chassidim. It's brought down in a number of places. The very famous story, the question is, how does the Kodesh Baruch Hu evaluate the schar of the mitzvah b'chol? Prison was a mitzvah, right? How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu evaluate the schar of the mitzvah? What is the schar of the mitzvah? So here again. This is the mice with the after roof, the area of Yisrael. The area of Yisrael, the after roof, you bring down the following mice. It was a mice of Odom Echad. Listen to this little story, a cute little story. Actually, it's a story that's been said, a number of places brought down this mice. Odom Echad, he said, it was a person, Shoysoi Bas Bergeris Lahasio. He had a daughter of age, time came to marry her, off. But guess what? Vusoicha, he was a businessman that the wheel turned, he was very poor, did not have a pruta. Was not able to marry off. Where the wheel turned, the yored mamode, right, and he fell from his high position. So, blow around according to the yaptus of Chana Bochus. He come to the yaptu roof. The makoshel the oyer rachmin. He wants the rabbi to give him a bracha be my rachmin. And ubishilas eitzah malas says, they have an eitzah. Rabbi, give me an eitzah. What do I do? I have to marry off my daughter. I don't have any money. Give me an eitzah. Give me a bracha. Give me an eitzah. What do I do? Harav Shualoi, the Rav asked him, come with Sarkh and Sue Bitoy. The Rav asked him, how much do you need to marry off your daughter? How much do you need? And how much do you have? How much do you have and how much do you need? Kama Yeshloi. Who Heshiv, so he said, Shezoki Kula Shemkakla Elef Rublim. I need 1,000 rubles. To marry my daughter, I need 1,000 rubles, he says. And how much do I have? Zero. The kiss are rake. The aim boy the ruble echol. Yeah, 1 ruble he has. Sorry. He has one. Yeah, he has 1 ruble. He has 1 ruble he has in the wallet. Omer Rav. The Rav said to him, Lech L'Sholem. He said, I'm giving you an answer. He said to him, what I want you to do is, I want you to go on the road. The first business proposition that's offered to you, whether you understand it or not, take it. That's what Rav said to him. This is my answer to you. Go on the road. And wherever you go, wherever life leads you, and the first business proposition that comes your way, take it. Lech l'sholem, v'mischa l'orishin, she's dama l'chot hase. The first business proposition that comes your way, do it. V'ashem yasliach da'agachol. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu should give you a slocher. The man didn't understand this. Tam o'ish, he says, first of all, I have no money for any business proposition. Guess what? I have no money to go into any business proposition. Rabbi says the first proposition, I have no money to invest in any business propositions. I can't. Well, how do I do it? But listen, he had a money. This is what the Rabbi said. So Rabbi knows what he's doing. Rabbi knows what he said. Aval hemin, he believed, had a munis chachorim, he believed, Rav, olach l'dakos, he goes. Bola molen echor, he comes into a hotel. Comes into a hotel. The law and he sees Yisoychim Shalavonim Toiris, there was diamond dealers. There's diamond dealers over there. He saw diamond dealers, right? Nizdam Lusham. So he saw that in the hotel that there were diamond dealers over there. Nigi Shalashukhan, so he also comes up to the table, right? So you have here big business people, diamond dealers sitting around the table, right? And he goes over to the table, show you smuchim, I love that the people were sitting around. The Hishchel is going and he starts to look at the diamonds, starts to look at the diamonds, right? There were Masuda on the Shulchan. It was the diamonds that spread out on the table, starts to look at it. So one of the Soychim, one of the business people, asked him, what are you looking over here for? What are you looking over here? Martha Mistakalkam. Maybe you want to buy a diamond? Oh, business proposition, right? First business proposition. He has no money. He says, yes, I want to buy a diamond. So Rebbe said, any business proposition, the first one that comes your way, do it. Say, I want to buy a diamond. So the Sarek asks, well, how much money do you have? Shu'ala Sarek come. He says, 1 ruble. He starts to laugh. You can imagine. He says, Choyk Porats. He says, Mipi HaSoichim. Right? And the Soicher, the one who had, who owned a lot of the diamonds, the Soicher Bal HaYehaloi Mamalish, he says, okay, you want a business proposition, you have only 1 ruble? I have a different proposition for you. Why don't you want to buy my Olam Habo? There's a proposition. For 1 ruble, I'll sell you my Olam Habo. He's making a joke, making a mockery out of it. So Yeshua Bishulcha Asik Gamba Ruba. I have a business proposition, he says, for 1 ruble. Canarius Olam Habo, so buy my Olam Habo. The Rebbe said, I do it. Fine. Willing to take a ruble? I'm buying your Olam Habo. And I'm asking Heshawish. But he said, Bitanai, I wanted a contract. I want to write a contract that you have sold me your chelik Olam Habo. I pay you a ruble. The Olam Habo belongs to me. So kachavis avu betnai should to asheri, right? You should be maasher. You should confirm. It's a mechira b'ksav. Kosu v'chosum kedin v'kedas. I want a contract. He's kemasoiches. Big deal. Says, yeah, sure. Want a contract? He did it. And you're all laughing. Lekotz choykom shalom. You're all laughing here. This guy's buying a ruble. This guy wasted 1 ruble he has, and he's wasting it to buy olam haba. Right? The fictitious whole thing. So he started laughing at him, right? The kitzur, he takes the ruble, right? He takes the ruble. Halo kibbutz aksav. Going to the next line, and he had nothing else to do. He already finished the business proposition. The Rebbe said, "I'm v'matzliach. Right? There's nothing else for me to do. I have to go further anymore. My atzlocha has to be here." The Rebbe takes the gemara and learns. He says, "This is finished. Yeah. Whatever it is, my atzlocha is already over here." So as he says this, what did he do? So kishiro ha'yehudi asoicha sha'yehudi shulafar. Excuse me. Hisko asoicha left out here. Yeah, okay, so what did he do? So he says, he didn't have what to do, so Melaholach Vahitzi Gemara, he says, Miyalkut, he took the Gemara out of his knapsack there, out of his suitcase, Yosha Bezi, it's time to learn. Fine. Im Sha Soichim Yoshim Soichim, while the Soichim, the business people, were laughing on this Batlan, he buys Olam Habo, he buys Olam Habo for a ruble. Shehoitzi Matbeh, he had 1 ruble, and he goes, he squanders it by buying a fictitious, buying the person Olam Habo, right? They're laughing at him. So Dovish Habo Yoilam. Meantime, the wife of the Soichim who sold the Olam Habo walks in. The wife of the Seicher who sold his Olam Haba walks in, right? And she actually owned a lot of the diamonds. He got a Beirusha from his father-in-law. So he said, oh, it's really all, his whole Ashiras was because of his wife. His wife comes in, right? And she sees people are laughing. She said, what's up, laughing? Right? So I'll show you also, Ma'at Choykazeh. So he told her ahead, of course, it's a big joke over here. Do you realize your husband made a ruble by selling his Olam Habo? Look at this joke over here. So when she heard that, Nizdazo Ho'isha, so mom, she began to tremble, and she said to her husband, listen, if you had even a small chelik of Olam Habo, if you had, you gave away and you sold it now, I don't want to live with a goy who does not have Olam Habo. Every year is supposed to have Olam Habo. Right? If you don't have Olam Habo, you're not a Yid. If you sold your Olam Habo, I can't live with you. She said to him, Ulai Hoylecha Eza Chelik Shul Olam Habo Machato Yisoy V'Nishato Yisoy. Now you became Be'el and Be'el Kamai Goy, now you're like a Goy. You have no Olam Habo. Eil Ritzoy Nelodurim Goy Gomer. I can't live with a Goy Gomer. So come now to the Rav and give me a get. So the Seicher said, what do you mean? It's just a joke. I never meant to sell my Olam Habo. She said, no, if you have the Olam Habo, so go to the next column on top. Sholach HaSoicher. So now he says, no, I'm going to buy it back. I want to buy it back. So the Seicher goes and sends one of his Mishorsim, he says, one of his servants, Sheba Moloin, Limtsoi Oysa Yehudi, Lavi Olov, Motsuhu Vizminu Lov El HaSoicher. They found him, they brought him to the Seicher. So now comes the Yid comes. So the Seicher says, Shemano Rav Yid, Omar HaSoicher. How I told me, you understand, it was just a joke. Here's the ruble back, give me back the Ksav. It was just a joke. It was a mock. Thanks to we were laughing. It was just a joke. Loi, no, Hesarish. Business is a business. Fair and square. I bought it fair and square. Asik or Asik. I didn't have in mind the joke. Maybe you did. I didn't have in mind the joke. I was very serious. To me, it was a genuine business deal. And Cain said to the Seicher, okay, you know what? I'll give you many times over. I'll give you profit. Give me back the ksav. Omar Asoicha, Etlach Revach, I'll give you. The Tachas of the Timkal Yeshari. Revach, he says, I don't want some profit. I need 1,000 rubles, he says. 1,000 rubles, Marta Soch, what are you talking about? A piece of paper, says, a piece of paper, garbage paper, that you want 1,000 rubles? And the woman, the wife, said, even if he asks 5,000, you have to have your Olam Haba back. Whatever he asks from you, so you better give him, because you have to redeem your Olam Haba. Even be 5,000. Live those, you have to be paid the Olam Haba. He tries to argue, to bargain. I'll give you 100 rubles. You only gave me one. I'll give you 100. I'll give you 2 and 5. He says, no, he says. He says, refuses. Now he starts to explain. You thought I'm a battler because I'm a poor man. I wasn't always poor. I was a big businessman. The wheel turned. But you thought I was a battler here, that I came here and I bought your Olam Haba for a ruble. You should know I'm not a battler. I'm just כמו שאתה וחבריך סבורים. אף אני לא יש לי סייכר. אל שירדתי. Except I fell on hard times. Vinis Rashashti became poor. Rava Kodesh Meyapta. The Aptarud gave me an Eitzer. She yotzli, the first business proposition, she is down the Yasser. Because I need 1,000 rubles to marry off my daughter. So I'm not going to be Mavatar, even one put. Either give me 1,000 rubles, I don't give you back the Ksav. He started again trying to handle 200, 300. He says the same thing. Even one less. When the soicher saw Yeshua Yehudisha, soicher Yeshua Yehudisha upon for action, God is so stubborn. Nothing's going to help. He didn't have no choice. You have to give him the 1,000 rubles, and then he got his ksav. Mommy's a broker of the afterlife. He got his 1,000 rubles. Guess what happened? So she says, this happened for, this Eitzel was given by a Rebbe. I want to meet that Rebbe. I have a tiny to him. I'm going to say, what kind of a thing is this? He says, I want to have a tiny to your Rebbe that you extorted from my husband now 1,000 rubles. So she says, the Isha Ponsaloisa Yehudi Bebakosha. So the woman, the wife of the Soicher, she goes, she turns to the Yid. She writes a little, she wants to see a Spenei HaTzadik Me'apta. She wants to see the Tzadik. Because the Gomer says, I'll take it to him. The Kabbalah Gomri says, hey, she wish. And Yachalev. No soul arrived, so he went to the Aptarud, he traveled. Mishabor Rishon Nichol Sahel of Isha says, I need Omnam Samech on the one hand, I'm very happy on the one hand. Shinis Galgulz Chusal Yodi Loiso Yudon. I'm very happy that on the one hand, through me, this Yid, right, is able to marry off his daughter. That's all happened through me. But I want to ask you a question. Al Sha'ela Achas and Eroisa Lishal Ma'arebi. Hayim O'Elo Mahabesh Shobali. Is the Olam Haba of my husband, is it really worth 1,000 ruble? You know, why does he have to pay 1,000 ruble to get back? Why is it justified that my husband should pay 1,000 ruble? Is my husband's Olam Haba worth 1,000 ruble? And look at the Abdul said, it's a classical answer. The Mishrishin, the first business deal, when he sold it for a ruble, his Olam Haba is not worth more than a ruble. Your Olam Haba is only worth as much as you deem it value. In other words, if you're Olam Haba, right? If you're in your mind, you're ready to sell for a ruble, that's all it's really worth. But at the end of the day, he says, as he points out, the Mishkorishin, at the first instance, when he sold this Olam Haba, Bad Ruble Echab, Lohoya Olam Haba, Shaloy Shova, Filoy Sarubel. But Mishka Hasheni, when he bought it back by 1,000 rubles, right? Then he says it's worth, he says, much, much more. The point of it is the value in the Schar of the Mitzvah, says the Haflor. By the way, the Haflor says this is emotional to bring to the Haflor. And Chaim Shmulevich says a whole Shemus. The truth is that sometimes we can be our worst enemy by undervaluing the value of the Mitzvah. And therefore, the value of the Mitzvah is how much you value it. Many times you have a person, right? He has a shear, right? He has a shear. Right? A blood gemara, right, is worth $1 million. And then, right, then for a psachej, you know, to make $50, if they say, you know what, I'll be mavatl this year today. But you have just shown that your blood gemara is not worth $50. But if you value your blood gemara for much, much more, and you understand that it's what? That nothing, you can't afford this, there's not, then that's what it's going to be worth. So the truth is, the chashivus of your mitzvah is the hamash is choshev by you. The more you are machshev your mitzvah, that in fact becomes the chashivus of your mitzvah.